Moncrief on News Talk.
Barbara and Declan are here. Good afternoon to you.
They are.
Hello. We're in the right
battling
place, Barbara.
Through the rain and the darkness.
Raining?
It's like winter out there. It's not that cold, but it's like rainy.
Literally winter out there?
No, it's autumn still.
Is it still?
Until September, October. Until tomorrow next day. Then we change to winter.
Apparently. Okay.
On the Celtic calendar.
Okay. Do either of you get excited about Halloween, by the way?
I love Halloween. I was just saying it to him because I said, I bet you've no decorations up and you turn off the bell and turn off the lights and pretend you're not in.
Mm-hmm.
I am the opposite. We have no children in the house at all. There's just me and him empty nesters at the moment because the only one who's still at home is away. My house is festooned. I have all the sweets ready. And I have my witch's hat at the end of the banisters. And yeah, I'll be manning the door delightedly.
Yeah.
On tomorrow night.
Is she right, Declan?
You know.
I am right.
You know.
Do you put up the same decorations every year?
Our boxes of Halloween decorations are almost the same size as our box of Christmas decorations.
Okay.
We add and subtract a little bit. Like, obviously, there literally are no... I mean, I keep waiting for maybe my grandchildren to be here for Halloween. And I'm always telling them, you have to come to Ireland for Halloween because it's meant to be dark and cold and scary.
Yeah.
And in Australia, they're all out in the bright sunshine.
That's not the same.
So I'd probably do more. I'd probably put up 2/3 of what I have.
Okay, that's good.
I don't hang things so much in the garden anymore.
Yeah.
But we've all lights up and we've like, you
don't
know,
do that thing,
and I don't do the scary. I really have a problem with this. You know, the hacked off hands and murder scene and hanging things. No, I don't like that. I like Halloween to be about magic and mayhem, but not horror.
Okay,
all
right.
Quite different.
What about like that spider's web stuff spray all over?
That's very bad for
the environment.
I mean, I did that back when the kids were smaller, when I didn't realize that, you know, it wasn't good for like flies
animals,
and insects and animals and stuff, birds. But having said that, I was standing at the kitchen the other day at the cooker, and the kitchen window is here, and the next thing was a huge big bang. And a flipping huge pigeon crash landed straight into it and was stunned on the floor.
That's what you get for washing your windows.
I didn't wash the windows.
Oh,
the windows are manky. I actually have a window cleaner coming on Monday. My windows are manky.
Then it was the pigeon's own fault then.
Yeah.
And he died. We tried to save him and he died.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he did die.
How was your window?
No, the window is fine. But you can see there's an outline of the pigeon with his wings. The window's so dirty.
I seem to be going,
that bit of window.
That's a great decoration you have there. How did you do that?
It was very tragic. Yeah. Poor pigeon.
No, because I know, like, we have a web. Now, it's not that kind of web. It's like a big web.
Is that the one with the spider on it?
Yeah, the spider's on it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, then I noticed the other day, there's about 5 other houses in our area have exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
And then I started to have a bit of embarrassment about it. And like, some houses have, and you wonder where, you'd feel like knocking on the door and saying, where did you get that?
Amazon.
That's so cool.
Amazon.
Not the web. Everyone gets
the web.
But other people had like animatronic stuff.
Wow.
There's a couple of houses around. I've passed some that they have full on installations, art installations. I live opposite Margaret. Shout out to Margaret, who does every single season. You know, it swaps elegantly from Halloween to Christmas. And, you know,
and then springtime.
And I always know what time of the year it is. And it's right opposite my house. So I feel like I don't need to do anything because
Margaret does it for you.
Yeah,
that is a poor excuse.
So shout out to Margaret for keeping
that
the
That is a poor excuse.
Going.
I say Margaret thinks you and him are
she
so
thinks
sad.
We're terrible.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, Margaret.
Yeah,
Margaret's a lazy fecker over there. You're all at work for
him.
Anyway, our first correspondent is somebody who will no doubt be celebrating Halloween, if not now, in the very near future. I'm pregnant with my third child. I've discovered it's another boy. And I'm so disappointed. I've always pictured myself with a little girl. And while we had discussed that, it was always going to be 3 kids and done because of the financial pressures. I now don't think I will be satisfied unless I get a girl. I know it seems mad to bring up having another, but I really want a daughter. And I'm so upset that it's another boy. I feel like I can't say anything to friends or family. But my husband has seen me break down in tears multiple times over this. Should we keep going until we get a girl? And am I wrong to feel so sad about this? I feel guilty, but I'm also devastated. This is not the future I had pictured.
I'm going to try and be measured in my response here because last line, this is not the future I'd pictured, kind of got me when I read it, because that is something that you hear parents who are dealing with having a baby with maybe very challenging special needs,
yes,
say,
instance. Yeah.
It's not really appropriate for somebody, I don't think, to say in this situation. I yeah. understand she wants a girl. We all have ideas in our head as to, you know, the imaginary family before we have kids that we would like to have. But the thing is, we can't control that. Thanks be to God. We can't control that. So, you know, the universe has gifted her with two and now going to be three, hopefully healthy boys. And really, you know, she should consider, I know this is cliche, but she should consider herself very lucky. Mm. And there's nothing she can do. The idea of, I don't think I'll be satisfied until I get a girl. Well, you're going to have to be satisfied because you could go and have 25 more babies and yeah. they could all be boys. You have no way of determining having a girl. So that prospect of keeping going until you produce one is frankly ridiculous
yeah.
and is a highway to hell. The only thing the only thing you could do is change your husband, because it is the male sperm that determines
apparently
the
so,
sex of the
yeah.
baby when
yeah.
they're born. So if you get a new husband, maybe the odds will be better. But like I,
but the new husband is going to have to take on three boys and her.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you know,
a big ask.
I don't. Yeah. You know, really. Like, I'm very tempted, and I was trying not to say, but like, grow up. Is yeah. that mean? It'd be very harsh.
No, I mean, I know people who've been, when they found out what the sex of the baby is going to be, who've been upset about it. But yeah. then you get over
you
it.
You get over it.
There's nothing you can do about
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
You know.
I think that's actually where what that core of this, again, my visceral response to this letter is not going to be matched with the way I'm going to speak now, because I've had time to think about it and grow some compassion for this person. Because I believe actually what's going on here is that this person right now is in the kind of excitement, I'm having a baby. You know, it's not the reality of when the baby comes and the practicalities. We were just chatting before we came in here, Robert, about how that actually is not the future that anybody expected for themselves when you're actually dealing with, you know, living, breathing baby children running around and all the things you have to do and blah, blah, blah. So that's never as fun or as kind of Hallmark movie as people kind of expect it to
be. That's true.
I do think, though, that what's happening here is that there's a confusion in this letter writer about what boys and girls should be for, as opposed to the way that they actually turn out. Because, you know, my mother and father thought they had three boys.
They ended up with a drag queen.
And, you know, that happened to me as well.
Okay,
you know, You know, I'm not suggesting that, you know, one in three turn out like
do
me.
You know,
but I am saying that each individual child is different and turns out to be different in a way that you don't expect and brings different things to the family, and their personalities are what make them your child and not their gender. And forcing kind of gender rules onto a pink and blue family, you know, into the future is really annoying to me.
That is, I wish I'd thought of that.
Okay,
you're
good point. Excellent point.
That's
well
a
done.
Very good point. Yeah, and I remember, because I have three girls. Now, I never wanted a boy because I had three brothers growing up. So I was very happy with my lot when I had three girls. But I remember when the youngest was born and it was another girl, and a nurse saying to me like, oh, it's another girl. Kind of like, are you okay with that? And I was like, oh, delirious. That's great. That was what I ordered and I'm happy enough. But I remember also saying, I never want to have to stand on the sidelines of a football pitch and be dealing with dirty football boots and having to get involved in BAA.
Yeah.
And my middle daughter is all of that.
Yeah.
All of
there
that.
You go. That's my point.
So, you know, that's exactly
that's
your
my
point.
Exactly my point, yeah. Which is that you don't, you know, just because you think it's a, you know, it is blue
it's
or pink,
way,
that's
yeah,
what you're going to get. And that's not actually how the world turns out. And that's not what children are. And I think that's where my compassion comes from. Because I think at the moment, she's kind of planning a kind of future based on
those,
you know,
norms.
Like, you know, an unrealistic kind of, you know, notion that you're told
that all
child
girls are this way and all boys are that way.
Sugar and spice and all that nonsense. But the reality of it is that when your family grows, that it's going to be your family with what, the uniqueness and the weirdness of your own particular family, and that's the reality that you're going to live with. And
I mean, if she decides to go again after this baby is born with the thing that maybe this will be a girl, her disappointment will be twice as much if it's bad on the third one, if the fourth one and or fifth one is also a boy. So that's a hiding to nothing, like, you know what I mean?
I think it's worth checking in with yourself about what it is you're actually looking for, because I think a lot of, like, you know, you've described with your three girls, Barbara, and then I know from my mum's scenario that she had three boys. So when my brother had a daughter, my mum was delighted, you know, she kind of, oh, the first girl in the family, and, you know, and that's kind of, you know, I understand that, but it is rooted in a lot of kind of notions about gender and
stereotypical,
and the kind of relationships that you have with somebody because of their gender, which can be which can be.
And I know, you know, she's probably thinking, oh, I would have loved a girl and we could, you know, I could dress her up and we could go shopping and we. Yeah, and that's not the reality of it, you know?
Tell her to get over it. We have five girls and my husband wants a boy. Sorry, but I'm done and out.
Good woman. Mum
of four daughters here. My bestie is from a family of eight girls.
Yeah. Wow.
So by all means, try again for a fourth child, but there's no guarantee of ever having one. Someone else says, after six boys, my mother-in-law gave up on having a girl. She's very happy with the choice of wives her son gave her.
Well, that's always a good thing. There's always that.
At the second scan, the nurse asked if we had another child. We said a girl. We didn't want to know the sex of the baby. Then she says, you will be very happy with the result. Spoiler alert.
It depends on the way you interpret that.
Well, of course,
I think she would be more profound.
Yeah.
And some of us have no children, would have loved to have had life dictated otherwise, that woman should be blooming grateful.
There is that too. Yeah.
Yeah. I have been with my husband for nearly 10 years and he's always horny. We have a good sex life. And while I would say I have a high sex drive, his is higher and it can be so annoying. Anytime I go for a shower, he wants to come with me and I feel like he's never satisfied. He reads my cues and seems to want it at the worst possible times when I'm rushing somewhere. When I speak to my friends, they chat about dry spells and not feeling wanted, whereas I'm the opposite. I love a break. He doesn't understand that I get turned off when I feel like I'm carrying the mental load and overwhelmed trying to juggle everything. He's constantly nagging me for some affection. What is normal in this situation and how do I get him to calm down? I don't want it to feel like a chore.
Bucket of water.
To do this. Give it a slap with that ruler.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't think it's an unusual situation to have two people in a couple who have a kind of a slightly mismatched energy when it comes to their sexual drive and you know, being in the mood or not in the mood. I think when it becomes a problem is if one of them feels that the whole area about desire and sexual expression becomes duty and responsibility and having to take one, you know, for the family or whatever.
Okay, delicately put, Declan.
Yeah.
Sorry, excuse me. So, like, I think there's two layers to this problem. The first layer is where, you know, she feels under the pressure to kind of, you know, give in when the request is made, even though she doesn't want to or doesn't feel like it or has, you know, something else on her mind and is not in the mood. And they're all completely realistic, acceptable, in my view, reasons for saying not now.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, it should be something that happens when both parties are in the mood and available and ready and whatever it is. So the question is that why are those demands being made at that particular moment? Because I think actually at the core of it, the demands are being made because, not because of the sex. I think it's actually about attention and it's about a little bit of control and it's a bit, you know, there's aspects of that that need to be challenged because it's kind of like, why is it happening when, for example, this person is very busy that he wants her attention at that moment? It's because her attention is somewhere else. And that's that needs to be named, even not in an aggressive way.
She's on fire today.
That it needs to be pointed out that the person who's demanding the sex is actually demanding something. It's not, you know, they don't deserve it. They're not entitled to it. That they're actually asking for something when something else is actually going on for the other person. And I think that needs to be named. It doesn't need to be it doesn't need to be a ruler. It doesn't need to be a slap in the nose like you give a naughty puppy. But it does need to be said because those comments kind of add up and go, you know, you can actually, well, I said this and I said this and this. You're ignoring it all the time. What's really going on? Is there something else going on for this guy? Because people normally want sex, not just because they're horny. They want it because they need the attention. They need the attachment. They use it as a way of being emotionally connected with somebody without using words
and talking
and other gestures.
Yeah.
And if those other words and other gestures aren't there, aren't part of your relationship, and all you have is a horn dog, you don't really have you don't have a loving scenario. You have a horny scenario. And that's a bit childish, I think.
Yeah.
You know, so you need to kind of work out what it is exactly that this guy wants from you and why is it so incessant? Mm. Is there something about the way your relationship is working that means that he feels you're not available when he wants it? Or is it that he wants you to be available all the time? Because there is a moment when that demanding thing slips from being just about sexual urges and it does slip into being a kind of a I don't want to use the word control because that sounds so strong, but I kind of do. Controlling.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting. Very philosophical. Yeah, okay. I mean, you know, I agree with everything you've said. And I mean, when I read this, I just thought, oh my God, I bet you there's women listening to this all over the place going, I know exactly what she's talking about, especially the line where she says, you know, she doesn't want it to be another chore on the to-do list. Yeah. Show me a woman who hasn't said, oh yeah, God, and I also have to have sex with him tonight because we haven't had sex for over a week. And, you know,
and it's Saturday night. And
it is another chore on the to-do list. And I mean, you know, I think in all relationships, as you've alluded to, you know, we all, and I can only speak from the point of view of a woman, but we all at times, you know, facilitate a partner when maybe we wouldn't be entirely up for it ourselves. Yeah. But you kind of go, yeah, okay, fine. But the thing that really freaked me out about this was that this poor woman can't go and have a shower without him coming in the shower after her. Hello? Yeah.
You hate the shower,
like,
don't you?
Oh my God.
Oh, I know, yeah. Yeah, this has come up before.
Yeah, it has, yeah. But like, seriously, like that is just, that is outrageous. And that is not, because again, as you said, he's not entitled.
Yeah.
You know, just because you're in a relationship with somebody doesn't give you an entitlement to have sex every time you feel like it and you want it.
Yeah.
And I think he hasn't, I think it's an immaturity that you alluded to, that he hasn't really understood that. I do think as well, there's the whole kind of societal thing. Now, again, I know I'm very old, but I know when I was growing up, like there was that whole kind of thing that how, you know, men can't really control their urges and men's needs. Yeah, men have needs and they need to be met. And if their needs aren't met, they become aggressive and kind of, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Or they go somewhere else.
Or they go somewhere else because their needs are paramount and they override, pardon the pun, every, you know, any woman's needs. Yeah. And I think there's a bit of that. I think there's also the fact that this woman mentions at times, you know, she's exhausted and she's tired. And again, that's because women are still pulling the double shift very often and have a big, huge to-do list already.
Well, that's what you might find it a bit more sexual if you did a bit of Hoover.
A bit of housework.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was going. Yeah, that is exactly where I was going. Yeah. But as you say, Declan, I mean, the bottom line here is that they need to talk about this because it's not, he's not entitled to it. And she's perfectly entitled to say, I'm not in the mood. I'm not in the humour. I'm too tired. I don't have time. No.
But she needs to separate her guilt as well, because the guilt is rooted in all the stuff you mentioned. But also, when you love somebody, you want to please them and do stuff for them, and you don't want to turn them down.
Yeah.
You're aware of rejection. You don't want to reject somebody.
No.
And but it isn't that kind of a rejection.
But you're not rejecting them. You're just rejecting the activity at this particular moment in time. But equally, if he loved her, he should understand that and be like, game ball with that.
That's why I was going where I went with it. I kind of think, you know, if he doesn't intellectually understand that, then there's some emotional kind of impulse that's going on there that just needs to be named, going, well, what is it? She needs to look at that and go, what is he looking for? Does he need a bit of reassurance? Does he need, you know, his hand held and be told that you love
him? It is interesting as well, where she says that she feels like she's carrying the mental load and is overwhelmed trying to juggle everything.
Yeah. So,
I mean, that's a huge part of it. I think we were talking about this also outside before we came in, apropos of something else. You know, and that as long as women are doing that, well, you know, as you say, it would be very sexy if you took out the Hoover and, you know, did a few things so that take some of the load off.
Yeah. Though, I'm the sex pest in our relationship. Herself says, I don't want sex. Then she moves the goalpost after cuddling. Any wonder we're all confused?
As in, she says yes after cuddling.
No, I think they have a cuddle and he thinks it's game on. And then she says, I don't want sex. I just want to have a cuddle. Oh. And he's finding that confusing.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's not confusing at all. Like, they're two separate things. Like, look, you know, same as massage.
Yeah.
That's a separate thing. That's an end in itself. It's not a prelude to something else. Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. But she's going to have it. It's going to be difficult. She's going to have to talk to him, obviously, but it's how she phrases it to him and gets him to understand.
Yeah, I mean, she
but we used to do it all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know,
yeah, but we now maybe have kids and we have a house and we have a whole lot of other things. And I'm doing most of the work. And sometimes I'm just not in the humor. Even if I've had a whole day off, sometimes I'm just not in the humor. And he needs to respect that.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line.
And also, there's nothing wrong with saying that you need to make me want it. Do you know what I mean? Like, actually seduce me or make, you know.
Get on your Superman outfit. Whatever it is. Flying off the top of the wardrobe.
Because you come over and tap me on the shoulder.
She doesn't like showers, but she likes Superman outfits.
Yeah.
Well, Halloween.
Recently, I moved into an apartment with my best friend from school. I just graduated college and I've landed a decent job in the Dublin area. I had been looking for accommodation for the better part of 6 months. So when one of my best mates from school offered me a place in his apartment, I jumped in it. It seemed like a dream come true and I knew the crack would be mighty. However, He recently got a girlfriend. She's lovely and I got on very well with her. But he and her have little care for hiding their desire for one another from me. This has been an issue since day one of me living in the apartment. Sometimes I would be sitting on the couch with them and they just start kissing quite intensely in front of me. There are other examples that I could give, but I won't even go there. Oh, it's a terribly awkward situation to be put in. In addition, she's always here, pretty much 6 days a week, so I never get to hang out with my friend anyway. I value my friendship with my friend. He has been with me through thick and thin, but I pay equal rent to him. And all I ask is that they keep their romance to the bedroom. How do I broach this?
You just say, I pay equal rent and I ask that you keep your romance in the bedroom. You've just said it. I mean, you know, again, yeah, like this is obvious. This guy is right. He's right. He's paying equal rent. It's it doesn't matter who was in the flat first. And the line where he says, like, he offered me a place in his apartment. No, you came to an arrangement about you being a flatmate in the flat that he happened to have been in first. But that doesn't give him any more rights than you if you're both paying equal rent. You both have equal entitlements and that should be respected. And your friend is completely taken the whatever.
Yeah.
You know, by having the girlfriend there so much. And certainly by the carry-on on the sofa when you're trying to watch the telly.
Oh, stop.
That's just, I mean, but that is awfully, that makes you feel really uncomfortable and awkward.
But that's the thing. There's probably one issue of having the girlfriend there all the time, but that kind of performative thing.
Yeah. No.
And like, you do see lots of couples doing it, not just at home on the sofa. You see people in pubs who, when there are other people present, have to be all over each other.
Yeah.
Because they're in love.
Yeah.
But there's an expression, get a room, you know, and people say that for a reason because, you know, feeling uncomfortable around somebody else getting it on is a normal experience. And saying it, I would just keep saying it, just, you know, get a room, you two. It doesn't have to be serious. It doesn't have to be aggressive. It just, you're just making the point. You're letting your discomfort have a name and you're just putting it in the room.
I mean, always just turn around and say to him, do you guys want to go in the bedroom with that?
Yeah,
like the get a room will just be laughed off. I think is, do you guys want to go in the bedroom with that? Because I'm watching the telly. Thanks very much.
Yeah,
right.
You're fully entitled. You know,
exactly. But it is, all I'm saying is name it. I remember I had a friend.
But it's too late then. He's watching Countdown, listening to them moaning in the next room.
Yeah, well, he can't complain about that. I think that's, you know.
I do know that there have been situations. I remember a situation where friends of mine, work, I suppose it was a kind of a constructive dismissal where they basically were public displays of affection out of their living space because the new couple, the newly formed couple, wanted the apartment for themselves. So they deliberately started being all sexy time in front of somebody else to make them uncomfortable.
Oh, that's awful. So
all's fair in love and war, and, you know, and there's, you know, it's hard to find somewhere to live and all that kind of stuff. No. So, you know,
just be
wary of what their motivations are. That, you know, so, you know, fight fire with fire.
You really had your Weetabix today.
You really did.
I never would have thought of that. Wow, I never would have thought of that.
No, but it is that thing. You just bear in mind that, you know, they're a new couple. They're probably going, you know, this should be our place. This is our place. So let's.
So do you think he should start looking for somewhere else to live?
Well, that's hard.
It is hard. Right,
it is hard.
I think if he hasn't made it feel like it's his place enough that he can actually say already get a room, I think he's already on the back foot, which means, you know, there's a bit of scarpering that needs to be done to kind of reclaim his rights.
I'm not up to speed on any of this now, but if he moved in with your man, would he have had to have signed a lease? Do you know what I mean? Would he legally have a foot to stand on?
That it was his place. His
I don't know.
He doesn't say it. Yeah. So I don't know. Like, you know,
if he's on the lease, then he's on the lease. And that's, you know, he's very secure in there. But if it's a more casual arrangement,
which it sounds like it might be,
then his whole tenancy there is at risk, not just his comfort
then
in the telly room.
For somewhere else.
So I think, you know, that's why he needs to call it out now. He needs to say, listen, this is making me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It makes me feel like you're trying to edge me out of here. What you're trying to do? I think it's a bit shady.
Yeah.
You know, so if you respect me and my right to be here, then maybe just keep your stuff to your bedroom because that's where it belongs.
God, that's hard.
It's not necessarily where it belongs.
That is hard. A lot of people decking texting in to say about how you're on fire today.
Are there?
For instance, that chap has hit the nail on the head. About the controlling husband.
There you go.
That's the sex guy.
Yeah.
On the question, though, of the first woman who wanted a girl. As the mother of three boys, I was disappointed when I learned my third pregnancy was a boy for about 5 minutes. Yeah. The absolute miracle of having three healthy, gorgeous sons is unbelievably fortunate. And also, the youngest is gay and a ray of sunshine.
Yay! Yay!
Regular Barbara, thank you both very much.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.